I want to express my welcome to each of you for coming out to the service tonight. It was rainy, wasn't it, today? And I was thinking, my, it would discourage many from coming out if we were getting, I guess, this showers of blessing on our heads as well as coming into this house of prayer tonight. But it is dry, so to speak, out there. We didn't face the rain, and so we're grateful that you chose to come and praise corporately and express your gratitude. Our scripture tonight is reading number 723. Linda Kinney will be leading us. That's in the responsive reading section of the hymn book, 723. And as I was looking at that, I noticed that in the book Ministry of Healing, that she, the author, uses this praise hymn in the chapter entitled Mind Cure. And this psalm is it's not based upon everything going smoothly in one's life. As you notice in the responsive reading, we have phrases like, some sat in darkness and in gloom. Some were in prison. And some were gloomy because, accordingly, they spurned the counsel of the Most High. So we do learn to praise God even when we're going through disciplinary learning experiences. And I suppose as you look back on your year, or perhaps even further, you're here not because you're perfect, but you have been inspired to come here by the Holy Spirit. You've sensed that there is a mind cure in praising God. I have looked at some articles recently. Perhaps you found some as well. The power of gratitude in our lives. First of all, it increases the effectiveness of our REM sleep. They tell me that if I would note my blessings just before I go to sleep, it enhances our sleep much more effectively. Our sleep is more effective and efficient just by noting blessings, points of gratitude before we sleep. Blood pressure lowers. We have less depression in our lives when we deliberately focus in on the positive. One psychologist has great experiences when he has said, for 14 days, you are not to utter one negative word. Amen. 14 days. Amen. And you know what happens if you do? Somebody's been there. Yeah, you start over. And you start the 14 days over again. That's quite an incentive to focus in on gratitude and praise. Some have indicated that our level of resilience to face tragedy is enhanced when we're in a state of gratitude. When we've deliberately decided that we are people of faith instead of discouragement. So I welcome you. You corporately have decided to be here and to highlight God's good word tonight. You will notice that some of the music that we highlight tonight does have some melancholy feel. And I would say that it's because J.S. Bach had losses in his life. He knew what death was like within his immediate family. And so you will hear that, but also you will hear the spirit of praise coming through his music as well. And so we're happy that the Yumapine Philharmonic and soloist Samuel Schaefer will be here. And highlighting some of that music tonight. But we want to hear from you. Number 8, right after our opening prayer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the blessings of coming together. You have drawn us. You've drawn us here for a specific purpose. And we know now that we have evidence that just to do this enhances many, many areas of our physical and psychological and spiritual parts of our minds. So give us the spirit of praise tonight, once again, in Jesus' name. Amen.
The Yuma Pine Philharmonic, huh? Well, may I present the Yuma Pine Choir. Number 8, and the words are on the screen if you prefer instead of the book. Do you want them to stand? Would you like to stand and praise the Lord? Seated. Linda, it's your turn.
Let's praise the Lord with words. Please turn in the back of your hymnal to the written word 723. I will read by myself the light print, and we will all read together the dark print. The title of the reading is Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from trouble and gathered in from the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. Some wandered in desert wastes, finding no way to a city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted within them. Then they tried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distresses. He led them by a straight way till they reached a city to dwell in. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wonderful works to the sons of men, for he satisfies him who is thirsty, and the hungry he fills with good things. Some sat in darkness and in gloom, prisoners in affliction and in irons, for they had rebelled against the words of God and spurned the counsel of the Most High. Their hearts were bowed down with hard labor. They fell down with none to help. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness and gloom and broke the bonds asunder. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wonderful works to the Son of Men. Amen and amen.
I don't know how long it's been since you've heard music like that in person, but this was glorious. Thank you, folks. Number 557. thankful people come, praise the song of harvest home. All is lively gathered in ere the winter storms begin. God our Maker doth provide for what's to be sublime. Come to God's own temple, come, praise the song of harvest home. We ourselves are God's own field, fruit unto His praise to yield. Wheat and tares gather sown, unto joy or sorrow grown. First the blade and then the ear, then the full corn shall appear. Rent a harvest, Lord, that we wholesome grain and pure may be. For the Lord our God shall come and shall take His harvest home. From His field shall purge away all that doth offend and pay. Give His angels charge at last in the fire that tears to cast. But the fruitful years to store in His garner evermore. Then thou church triumphant come, raise the song of harvest home. All are safely gathered in, free from sorrow, free from sin. There forever purified, in God's garner to abide. Come, 10,000 angels, come, raise the glorious harvest home. I think I'm going to have to call for some deacons. I don't know if this was arranged for before, but there's one of them. Ah, there we go. Folks, it is a grand time that you live in. And it's one of those times when God has blessed us very beautifully in ways that many of us would love to spend time recounting to our friends, having nothing to do with the money in the pocket, having to do with the blessings that He showered all over us. But there are times that we can take some of that money from the pocket and share with others in need. And this fund that exists in this church for this community has seen some depletions in recent years, some very recent times, in fact, with fires. We've had at least two families in the community that have lost their homes to fire that we have been able to help, and others that have had needs. And this is an opportunity for each of you to help in replenishing that fund so that it's available for the next need that comes along. Let's bow our heads. Thank you, Father, for the wonderful way in which you have blessed us, for the ways in which you have made it possible for us to share with others. And we thank you now that you'll take the offerings received and use them to bring comfort and healing to those that need it, and joy to those that are able to share in contributing. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
Good evening, Yuma Pine Church. Oh, man, I've got to stay at the pulpit this time. All right, I think I can do it. We'll see. Let us pray. Dear God, thank you so much for this message that you've been giving me. Sometimes it's tugged a little hard on my heart, and I know that it's grown from insecurities from my part, but I just ask that as I speak your word, that I come out in a way that's not of my mouth, but of yours. I love you so much. In everything, let your name be praised. Amen.
Amen.
See the decorations? I feel like this room is just kind of decked out. I mean, this the atmosphere of fall, this is a Thanksgiving room, isn't it? Man. And in this time of Thanksgiving, we're compelled to give thanks for what we have. We have songs that are dedicated to giving thanks with a grateful heart. You must know the ones. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Those who went to Rogers. Hear it every morning. Give thanks with... Yeah. Love it. Thank you. We have little films for children illustrating the pilgrims having a nice dinner with the Indians, consisting of turkey, all different kinds of potatoes, corn, and pie. These pilgrims would raise their hands saying, "We are thankful for what we have. Let us be satisfied. Let us be content." Friends, I do see the worth in giving thanks for what we have. It humbles ourselves in a way that just not saying it at all doesn't provide us. But I think the true sense of gratitude is not exemplified by only verbally giving thanks. We can be walking around throwing around thanks kind of like pixie dust, getting our satisfaction from that, hoping that we may feel a deep sense of gratitude grow inside us and it will be evident to others. Instead of purely and only giving thanks, I ask and I call for a response for a different kind of gratitude. Let us thankfully give as a response to gratitude. Jesus tells a story about a rich young man who approaches him while he was teaching and asks him what he has to do to become saved. Jesus responded with, "Why do you ask me about what is good? There is only one who's good." It's a little ironic that he's talking about himself. "There's only one who is good. If you would enter life, keep the commandments." "Oh, okay. I can do that." The rich young man responds with, "Which ones?" I hope that wouldn't be my response. Jesus responds with 6 of the commandments and then adds in the golden rule for good measure. Make sure he gets the point. The young man responds saying, "I have kept these. Then what do I lack?" Jesus says, "Go and sell all that you possess and give to the poor." Essentially, he says, give what you have instead of just being content with yourself and what you have been given. Go a step further and be willing to give up what you have, or use what you have to benefit others more than yourself. And sadly, this turns out to be a weakness for the rich young man. I have one more story for you to bring a little bit modern context. I promise I'll be a little bit concise with this homily. This happens to me on a plane on my way back from Texas. I feel like every prospective pastor needs a plane story. So far, this is mine. Go easy on me, please. I got done playing music at a wedding in Texas, in Austin, Texas. And I was on my way back, and it was one of those Southwest flights where you can actually pick where you're sitting. You just kind of go and pick whatever seat is open. And after a long while, this 10-year-old boy comes and sits next to me. Now, I'm grumpy. I'm coming back on a plane. I don't want to be there. I'm tired. I've got homework when I get back. I wasn't in a very good mood. And this 10-year-old boy sits next to me on the Southwest Airlines flight. About 10 minutes later, another boy comes and sits in the row in front of me, but in the row, in the aisle on the other side, so I could clearly see him. The boy on the other side, about the same age, decked out in a little bit different clothes, but he had everything. This 10-year-old boy had the massive iPhone 7. He had the brand new Nintendo gaming system. He had a really cool backpack. And he had these headphones, these $300 Bose headphones, that once you put them on and turn them off, once you put them on and flip the switch, you can hear nothing but what you want to hear. He goes and he shuts out the entire world with what he was given. There's a little bit of an awkward space, I think, for a lot of us when we sit on a plane next to somebody. We kind of get the sense of, oh, if you don't talk to them at the very beginning, it's going to be hard to bring up a conversation a little bit later. They're going to ask questions. Why didn't he talk to me? Does he not like me? Do I smell bad? Maybe it's just me. That's what... very self-conscious about that. But eventually I get up the courage to start a conversation with a 10-year-old boy. Sounds crazy now that I think of it. I get up the courage to talk to him. Found out his name is Kevin. That he's flying back from his parents' from one of his parents' house. His parents are divorced recently. And about 5 minutes into this conversation, he casually lets me know that it's his birthday. And then something kind of clicked in me, even with my grumpy self on this plane. This kid had to go in the morning, fly on a 4-hour plane ride to Sacramento to see his mom, and then in the end of the day, fly another 4 hours to come back and see his dad on his birthday. Casually tells me it's his birthday. And he showed me then his birthday present, because all this kid had was a little backpack filled with absolutely nothing and a little binder with these plastic slots where you put football cards and baseball cards and basketball cards. And he only had a handful, and that was what he got for his birthday. That and a lot of airtime. And still, I just want to remind you guys, this was not my best mood. I was not encouraging. I wasn't super happy. I didn't try to make the kid laugh. But he did something that made a profound impact on me instead. The other kid that had all the potential in the world, all the money, all the belongings, all the gifts in the world, decided to shut out the world. But the kid next to me then hands over his binder. He's like, I know planes are kind of boring. Do you want to look at my binder? 10 years old. I know that doesn't seem like a lot, but the impact that it's made on me since then has been placed very hard in my mind. Instead of only feeling content about his belongings like the other kid that shuts the world out, he goes, gathers his things, receives the gifts from his parents and his grandparents that he saw in Sacramento, and then on a plane releases it to a stranger, me. He didn't have much to give besides a time, some words, a conversation, and a binder of cardboard pictures. The gesture that this kid showed me gave me a fresh experience of what Thanksgiving meant. Not just giving thanks for what you have, but thankfully giving openly what you have. Amen. That's not money for everybody. That's not belongings for everybody. And I feel like you know what that is. It can be time. It can be a smile. It can be a conversation. It can be encouraging words. We've all got our gifts. Someone who puts a lot of this into a concise poetic form is J.A. Shedd. J.A. Shedd says, "He who thanks but with the lips, thanks but in part. The full and true thanksgiving comes from the heart." Now, I'd like to ask your permission to change this a little bit, and you guys can respond if you guys agree with me on this, but I'd like to change it a little bit. "He who thanks but with the lips, thanks but in part, but the full and true thanksgiving is giving from the heart." Do you agree? I encourage you not just to be content. We need to be content. We need to verbalize that. But don't just be content with what you have or just be satisfied, but to act on it by giving in a way that works for you for the benefit of others. "He who thanks but with the lips, thanks but only in part, but the full and true thanksgiving is from the heart." Amen. Dear Jesus, you've given us so many gifts. You give us time. You give us breath. Give us a voice to sing, teeth to smile with, and a heart for people, Lord. I ask that in this season we are compelled by gratitude to act on it. Give us opportunities and let us act on it. We love you so much. Amen.
Before we sing this final song this evening, I want to express our appreciation to our pianist here, Jan, who came in and serenaded us before the program this evening and has provided such wonderful accompaniment to all of our performances this evening. To your singing, which is a marvelous performance, I appreciate that very much. And this final song is, in a way, a benediction in itself. I don't know about the pastor. Were you planning to have a benediction after this, pastor, or this it?
I think
Lauren has this? Okay. It's not on the bulletin. That's the reason Keith doesn't know. Let's sing number 559.
Our dear Heavenly Father, we're grateful for life. We're grateful for the ability to reflect on your goodness. Open our eyes and our ears and our hearts to recognize your many blessings day by day. And help us to give back to you the sacrifice of our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.